the prophetic department along with Diana and my wife Deb, who's not here tonight. It's my privilege to introduce our speaker tonight. I've known her for several years. She's a member of Marion Christian Center. It's been an honor and pleasure to watch her grow, to grow not only spiritually, but in her confidence in who she is in Christ. She has come a long way in the years that I've known her, and it's just an honor and a pleasure to watch what God does in people's lives when they give their hearts to Him and say, "Lord, Your will." I'm sure years ago, several years ago, probably not too long ago, she didn't think she would be where she is today. But isn't that true of all of us? That as we allow God to work in our lives. So welcome this evening, Diana Garlow.
That made me want to start wanting to cry. That's very kind. So thank you, Denny, for that introduction. And thank you, Pastor Perry and the prophetic department, for allowing me this opportunity to share with you this evening something that's really near and dear to my heart, and that's prophetic journaling. And we'll get to that in a moment. But also thank you, Steve, because there's a story I'm going to share at one point that he could have said no to, but it's helping explain to you about prophetic journaling. So I appreciate that. So the reason we've started doing teachings and activations on these Friday nights is that a couple of months ago in our prophetic department meeting with Pastor Perry, when we were talking about setting goals and what do we think the vision was for where this department should be heading, one of the things that came out that we were all sensing was that we think we need to really get back to some of our foundations. And this is School of the Holy Spirit. We're here to be taught by Him. We're here to be taught about Him. And we're here to minister to each other with what we're learning. So that's the reason that we're doing this. And so last month, if you remember, Denny taught on experiencing God and how you could have that experiential relationship with God every day and at work. It's not just for at church or special evenings like tonight. And Deb taught about the word of knowledge and how you listen to God on behalf of somebody else and you hear something that you couldn't know with your natural mind. And so tonight I'll be following that up. I'll be doing prophetic journaling. So how many of you believe you prophetic journal? You know, I'll give you a definition of what I think it is. Okay, so for some of you, this is new and some of it's not. And then Furman is going to be teaching on Song of the Lord, and I can't wait. For one thing, I'll be done by then, and I can just relax, but I just can't wait. All right, so I'm going to touch on 6 different points tonight, different questions that you might have about prophetic journaling. I thought it was a good way to organize this. So first, what is prophetic journaling? Who can do prophetic journaling? Why should we do it? What if it's not God? I think that's really one of the critical questions, and it's one of the questions that we have to ask. And then what do you actually do when you're prophetically journaling? And then what if that doesn't work? All right. So starting out with what is prophetic journaling? To me, a basic definition would be it's a conversation with God, but rather than speaking it out, we're writing it down. And why would we want to do that? Well, part of the reason, I think, is because then there's a written record of it. So probably some of you have done prayer journaling before. You write the answers that you get. It's a written record, and that's a really good thing. But I think also, well, I'm going to hold off on that. All right, so what is it is what I'm supposed to stick to. It's conversation with God. I do mine on the computer, and I've actually been doing this in a real systematic way since 2013. I've done it off and on for a while before that. But I know that because I've got a folder that says 2013. It's got January, February, March, April, May, June, July, blah, blah, blah. All right? So it's just something I believe in. And God will prompt me to go back to different years and different months at times. And like I said, it's a record of what He has spoken to me. So I just love journaling. Most types of the prophetic involve one person listening to God on behalf of another person or other people. So you heard Ron give us a prophetic word. He gave us a type of the prophetic earlier. You see prophetic artwork up here. You saw lots of prophetic movement and prophetic dancing. That was, you know, God's heart for all of us. And that was helping us break through, right? Did you sense the breakthrough was going on during part of that? You heard the Song of the Lord. That definitely was for breakthrough. All right. So typically it's one person hearing God's heart and pouring that out for the rest of us. But prophetic journaling is different because it typically is just me and God. I'm hearing the word, and it's for me, typically. And same thing, you, when you're prophetic journaling. All right. So it's a quieting ourselves before God and having that conversation. Typically, I ask a question of God, and then I wait, and I listen for the answer from him, and I start typing that out. And one thing I do want to say is that a lot of times God's voice sounds like my own thoughts inside my head. It doesn't necessarily sound like that big audible voice of God outside there. So we've got to get used to that. You'll know the voice of God, or you at least will come to know the voice of God, because it always comes with purpose. There is just a feeling and a sensing that this is God. It strengthens us, it encourages us, and it comforts us. That's 1 Corinthians 14:3, and that's what the prophetic does. And this is prophetic journaling, so it should work the same way, right? And it does. All right, so the second question is, who can do prophetic journaling? Do we have to have special qualifications or abilities? Well, what the Bible says is that we're all equipped to do prophetic journaling because, Proverbs 20:12, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. And that means that he has given us those spiritual sensings, the same kind of senses that we have in the natural. And why don't we always hear and see and feel and those kinds of things and taste and smell in the spirit realm? Well, partly it's because our senses have been dulled, but partly, too, because we haven't necessarily exercised them. Hebrews 5:14 says, excuse me, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So it's not true that if it's a spiritual gift and God wants you to have it, you're boom, you've got it, you're fully activated in it, and you don't grow in it. That is not typically true. Typically, we do grow in our giftings. And God will very often stretch us and change things around from time to time. All right, so what it's not, though, is it's not recording our thoughts. So even though I said that the voice of God often sounds in my own head like my thoughts do, it's not that. It's not writing my response to the Bible. Those things are good, and, you know, that's fine, but that's not what prophetic journaling is. And we're going to get into some more specifics of it in a bit. So why would we want to do prophetic journaling? There are so many spiritual disciplines that we can take part in. Why do this? And I would say one reason is that Dr. John Watson, I don't know how many of you know him, he was the founding pastor of our church. When he used to teach ministering spiritual gifts, I heard him say on many occasions that it's one of the gateways into activating some of the other prophetic areas of your life. So that would be a really good reason to do prophetic journaling, right? Because we want to hear God better, and we want to be able to speak the heart of God to other people. But that's not the only reason. Or to me, the most important reason to prophetically journal is this. I'm hearing directly from God on my own behalf, and this is the key, that I am developing a relationship with him. In any relationship that you have, you need to spend time with that person. You need to really listen to that person. It's not all about you doing all the talking. So it's the give and take, and that's what develops with prophetic journaling. It's allowing God to tell me how much he loves me. And if you're anything like me, your wounded heart needs to hear that. And you need to experience that in the intimacy of that time between you and him. Because, you know, when somebody tells you something in private, nobody else can hear. They're not doing it for any other reason other than to speak to you. And so, of course, God doesn't show off or anything like that. But it's just that it's that intimate one-to-one time. So he allows me to know how much he really loves me. That helps me know my identity. It helps those lies from the past kind of slide off their slimy little selves and just go away. And there's other work to be done usually too, but that, it helps in that. And it also helps bring me into my destiny then. I have to know who I am to know where I'm going, right? It's a means of knowing God. When I hear him and I hear him expressing his heart towards me, I know him better. And also, a lot of times he gives me directions for some specific kinds of things. So reading the Word of God is awesome. It's wonderful. We all need to do it, and probably all need to do it. I don't know if I want to say more. I don't want to quantify it, but we need to do it. All right? The Bible will give us God's general will for our lives, always. All right, but there are times when we need a more specific, or we want a more specific direction, or we want to know more intimately, God, so what are you saying just to me? And that's what happens with prophetic journaling. So have I convinced you, if you don't do it yet, that it's really good to do? Because that's what I'm trying to do. All right, so to me, the big question, the one that I think has to be asked is, so what if it's not God? All right, so I told you that I've been doing journaling in a real systematic way since 2013, but there was a time period where I would not, couldn't convince me, no way, because I had done it, and I believed that I missed the mark. If I was going to miss the mark in this big way that I did, I thought, what's the use? And so I've been married to my wonderful husband for 8 years now. There was a period of time before that, 5 years or so, when I was single. And during part of that time, I believed that God was going to restore my first marriage. And I was doing prophetic journaling, and that's what I believed that I heard God talking to me about. And I heard some real specific things, like he is going to call you in the morning, he's got a specific question, and this is the way you need to answer that. So there were some things that I knew I heard from God because that happened. But somewhere along the line, in my believing that this marriage was going to be restored, my ex-husband remarried somebody else. All right, so what do I do with that? At the time, I was journaling in notebooks, and I had several notebooks. I threw them away, and I just thought, done with that, not going to do that anymore. I wasn't mad at God. I was hurt. I was disillusioned. And I was just done with it. I thought, I still love you, God. I know you still love me, but if I miss the mark that big, So I don't know what you believe about divorce and remarriage, and I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything particular. I'm just saying that was the circumstance of my life at that point. But what I heard from God were words of restoration. And I think now, having received quite a bit of healing and spiritual counseling and you know, further relationship with God, I think what I would hear now if I went back and read those was, number one, the marriage that God wanted to restore was my marriage to him, because there was a lot of damage done during that time. I allowed other people to sit on the throne of my heart. And, you know, it's my family, and I love my children. It's a good thing. It's a godly thing. But when they take the place of God, then obviously that relationship, mine with God, is damaged. And so that was the marriage I really believe he was talking about restoring. I also believe that there was just a lot of restoration that was for me only. I believe this. I don't know. Those journals are gone. I can't check them out now. But also, I believe that when God was telling me that he was honoring me as a wife, there would be a time for me to be that heart of the house and the household. I really believe God was talking to me about my husband and restoring in that way. I didn't know Steve then. I didn't know that was going to happen. So anyway, do you believe, let's just take a little segue here. Do you believe that you can pray for someone else with your own soul and not be the will of God the way you pray? Okay, I do too. For example, like I've got a sister that I love very much. She and her husband need to do some really, really, really expensive home repairs, and they don't have the money, and she's talking about taking money out of her retirement. And I could pray that God would supernaturally drop money into their savings account, because I have faith to believe that. I've had that happen once to me. But what if God really wanted to take my sister and her husband by the hand, and he wanted to say, now listen, kiddos, I have some principles that I want to teach you. And what I want to teach you is not only going to be for today and how to handle your finances and how to put your needs before me, but it's for tomorrow and the next day, and it's to teach your children and your children's children. And so I could pray outside of the will of God. I could pray my own soul because I want that need to be met right away, okay? So that's what I'm saying. We can do that. Can I read the Bible and interpret it through my soul instead of through my spirit? Well, obviously I can. If I read, go into all the world and preach the gospel, I can say, Steve, I read that in the Bible. We need to sell our home. We need to sell all of our belongings. Let's buy some Bibles and smuggle them into China next week. All right? But I don't really necessarily know that that's what God wants us to do. He really might want us to go into all the world by supporting missionaries, by perhaps taking some trips. So anyway, my point is, I haven't stopped reading the Bible because I can misinterpret it through my soul. I haven't stopped praying for other people because I can misinterpret through my soul. So I'm to the point where I'm not going to stop prophetically journaling because it could be dangerous. I could interpret through my soul. Here's the key. I think it takes time to discern for myself how I experience God's voice and to discern my voice from His voice. There are no shortcuts. I need to prove what I'm hearing through the Word, through biblical principles, and so I do need to spend a lot of time in the Bible or at least open my heart for the Bible. I don't want to quantify that. We are told to test the spirits when we receive a prophetic word. Same thing when we prophetically journal. And we also need to find out, does it come to pass? I mean, that's the test. That's one test of prophecy. Does it come to pass? So prophetic journaling, it would be the same thing. And none of those things that I mentioned are something that necessarily happens overnight. So again, I'm just saying, just because we can miss it, I don't think that's a reason to not journal. So how do I actually do this? If I were going to sit down, if I didn't know how to, what could be the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps? Because I don't think you have to do it the way I do it or the way you could hear somebody else talk about it online. But here's what I think you could do if you have never started prophetically journaling. Set an appointment time with God, just like you do all of those important events of your life. All right? So for me, when I get up in the morning, after I take care of the necessities, I read my Bible. Then I go to my little news app and I pray through stories that I believe I'm supposed to be praying about and asking God, what do you want to do about this? And then I journal. And I don't do it every day. I do it maybe 5 to 7 times a month when I really feel that urging that this is the time to journal. But there's a time when I do it, and my spirit is used to that, and my body is used to that, and my mind is used to that. And I think that helps me. So then when you actually sit down, whether you're going to type it up on your computer or you're going to write it longhand, however you're going to do it, you tell God what you need to tell Him. You pour it out to Him. If that's an angry day, if it's a disappointing day, if it's a blah day, if it's a very, very happy day. There's so many times I start out with just God. Actually, I say, Daddy, I just thank you for this weekend. I thank you that my kids had time to spend some time with me. Just so glad because everybody's schedules are hectic. Just thank you. I thank Him for prayers that He's answered, things that have been really on my heart. And then what I do, because I want to be authentic with God, because I want Him to be authentic with me. I allow myself to be taught. I become silent and ready. There's that expectation that I've placed on God as my daddy. And somewhere in that stillness, there is a real worship because He knows that I'm waiting just for Him. And I know that it's just around the bend that He's going to start talking to me. And then you write whatever you hear. This is not the time to start deciphering if you've just started prophetically journaling. So you just type what you hear, write what you hear, because that's God talking to you. He's answering your question. So you let that play out, and then maybe you have another question. And then you listen for His answer, and you type that up, and you let that play out. Now, for me, typically, I don't journal pages, 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 pages. Again, I do it in the morning, and I'm on my way to work, so I have a kind of a limited time, and it works really well for me. All right, so I might only type up about a little paragraph because I want to keep my focus on what He has to say, and He may answer me a little paragraph. Now, it can go on longer than that, but I'm just saying it doesn't need to go on longer than that. All right. So you let that process play out, and then you're going to start, then it's over, all right? But I want to try to train myself to know, is it me, is it God, is it a dark thought? So if something goes contrary to the message, it's probably my mind rabbit trailing, and I can cross that out, or if you're on a computer, you can delete it. If it's not encouraging, strengthening, or comforting, even though it may be sort of difficult to hear, it's not God. God may convict me, but He'll never condemn me. Everything He says to me is for my good, to strengthen me, to help me. Cross out anything that you hear or delete it if it openly opposes biblical concepts. It's not God. All right, so what is left then is the pure heart of God for you. And that is a glorious thing. So you meditate that on that. You can speak that out. I encourage you to speak that out over yourself. Just like when you get a prophetic word, man, speak that out over your life. Speak that out with this, because it is God. It is God every bit as much as if a prophetic, a major prophet from some other country came and gave you a word. And then I always date it because I want to know like how it's fitting in with the rest of my life. So you're going to be able to discern in time which thoughts are your own thoughts. You're going to be able to discern which are dark thoughts from the enemy. And in a time period, you're not even going to need to write those down. You're just going to be able, if they start to come, to say, stop, nope, not going there. And it will become easier and easier. All right? That's my experience. That's many people's experience. So what happens then if those steps don't work? Well, one thing is, straining does not help you. Condemning yourself does not help you. Desiring is a scriptural key for receiving from God. So what I would do if I was not getting anything is that I would already have my question typed up, my part, and I would listen for a while. And if it's not happening, I just say, okay, God, guess it's not going to happen today, but thank you. I know you're here with me. Even though I didn't hear you, I know you are. I trust that you are. Thank you. And I would try it again in another couple days. I probably wouldn't try it again the next day. All right. But I also want to encourage you that no matter how small a message that you hear, that you write it down. I have received one word from God many a time. And I think the purpose during those times is he wants me to study it out. It's the glory of God to conceal the matter. And it's the glory of kings, which we are, right, to study it out. To search it out. And also the biblical principle of being a good steward and using what God has imparted to us. So, and then my last thing then would be also, if that's just not working for you, find some people who do this, put on some soaky music with them and let them guide you through it. And then just keep trying it. So hang out with people who can already do this. All right. So those are my 6 points, and now I want to actually do this. So that's why you picked up a piece of paper or a note card. You should have something to write with. If you didn't, we can still get those to you. Is there anybody that needs anything to write with? And Justin's going to have, okay, so there's a couple people. Steve, can you help, or Judy, whomever? So if you want to raise your hand, and they'll come help you with that. And Justin is going to play some soaky music in just a minute. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray in the spirit. If you could raise your hand again if you need paper, pen, something like that. We're going to pray in the spirit to stir ourselves up. And I'm going to say, okay, now go silent. I'm going to ask you tonight to only write a very few words to God. Just like, God, what would you want to say to me this evening? And then you're just going to go silent. You're going to start writing what you hear. And then we'll give some time for people to share out if they would choose to do that. So we're going to do this for a couple minutes. All right? So let's pray in the spirit now, out loud, where we are. God, we just open our hearts to you, God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the words that you're going to minister to us tonight. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's start writing. some of you could keep going. We'll probably go about one more minute. If you can keep going and you want to keep going while other people are talking, that is fine. I would like to ask if a couple of people would share, and Denny's going to bring the mic to you. Is there anybody who's never done prophetic journaling before and you got something and you just want to test it out? There's a lady back there, or I don't know, maybe you saw somebody else.
Well, the word I got right as soon as you, after you prayed, was cement your relationships with me and with all your godly relationships, me, your wife, your children, and the groups of people that we teach. But cement those relationships.
Sounds like God to me. What do you think? Yeah? Thank you. Thank you for sharing. There's a lady right here. Back here, she's about five rows back. Yep. Thank you for being willing to share that.
The word that I received was trust in my word and my purpose that has been revealed in you. And then as I continued to just pray and thank God, I just received two more words.